You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 280, another round number of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. It's Kyle and Ben. Happy Wednesday. The middle of the week. We've hit the peak. We're going to get you over the hump and head back to the weekend. Get ready to hopefully play some golf, nicer weather. I got my member guest this weekend.
Oh, I thought that was last weekend. I thought it was Masters weekend.
No, it's this weekend, baby. We're ready to you can't have member guests on the Masters weekend.
Is Dad coming up?
Dad's coming up. We're gonna go balls to the wall. It's gonna be
great.
And
you guys have had some quality time as of late.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You and Dad.
Absolutely. Masters and now member guests. But tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. I wish you guys could get odds on the member guests this weekend. If I could get a line into Bet Online, I bet you they'd put some odds out. It's the number one sports betting website in the country. Check them out. Use coupon code BLEAV, BLEAV. Get a 50% welcome bonus. Get ready to rack them, stack them, and, you know, win some cash. Go in the online casino, bet all their different sports books lines.
Yes.
Tons of fun, tons of stuff you can play around with. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Ben, one bet that I don't think a lot of people, maybe some people made it, was Rory not making the cut this weekend. I mean, if you pounded that button, Rory not making the cut, I think you probably would have had a pretty nice little payday. Rory, 2 and barbecue. I don't know what it is about Augusta. It seems like it should fit his game very well because he's long. He's one of the longest and typically one of the straighter, drivers of the golf ball. But he just can't do it. He just cannot do it at Augusta. He doesn't make the cut, which is interesting in and of itself. But the most interesting part is that the next event is the RBC Heritage, which is one of the elevated events. He withdraws.
Also one of his sponsors, by the way.
One of his sponsors, he not withdraws. He pulls out. He's not going to play, which is now his second elevated event that he has not played in, which, you know, he's captain PGA Tour. And the rule is you, in this new setup, you're only allowed to miss one, sit out one, barring an injury. So it seems like the rule for what's the little saying? The rules for me or not for thee or something.
Not for
thee.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
it's a rule for thee, but not for me or something like that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, it seems like Rory.
Well, you're terrible on sayings and geography, and you nailed that one. Atta boy.
Yeah, I've heard it once or twice, but it does. It seems to not ring so true for that saying rings very true for Rory in this situation. It seems like, because I don't think there's an injury, at least that I know of. Have you seen anything?
No, I think that would have come out by now. I do find it sketchy that there still has been no reason given. Let's get back. Let's just backtrack a little bit the way you started it with him missing the cut.
Okay.
Number one, he switched putters for Augusta.
Yeah.
Like, he legit said that. He said that I'm switching putters so I can roll it on Augusta's greens. So he switched drivers or switched, tinkered with his driver. He kept the driver head, but he switched the shaft up. He shortened it like a half inch or something for Augusta.
Yep. The driver goes in. Not a lot of forgiveness in that driver.
No. His first driver didn't have forgiveness. The second one apparently didn't have forgiveness when he got to Augusta. And so he misses the cut, which is just really odd in itself because he was second at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He was third at the WGC match play. So he's been playing good golf. He won in Saudi whenever they played over there in that event, which is kind of odd because he got paid by the Saudis, but he hates live guys. I'm not going to go down that road, but still. So he was coming into this not necessarily as a favorite. Now, not you, Kyle, but another Kyle was in a Masters pool, and he reached out to me. He said, "Hey, man, I don't know much about golf. I do listen to you and Kyle's podcasts." He said, "Give me some picks." And so I was like, "All right." So I gave him six names, and he legit said, "What about Rory?" I said, "Rory cannot play Augusta. Do not take Rory." He won $170. He Venmoed me $20 as a finder's fee for that. So
awesome.
He did well in his pool. And so Kyle, shout out to you for listening. Not this Kyle, other Kyle. listening to us, and congratulations on your wins. I don't know if I'm supposed to give that number out, but congrats on the 170 minus the 20 that you fed the sugar over here. He can't play Augusta, and then they've been suspecting that he's got Augusta fatigue. And you and I were talking about it. How do you get fatigued when you miss the cut? And yeah, you're 32. You're 32 years old.
You got the whole weekend off. You got the whole weekend off, and then you only played like 9 holes at a time during the week. Like,
right.
I don't think is fatigue like a reason you get to just miss an elevated event?
No. No, I don't think so.
I mean, there's a lot of dudes that are – I mean, clearly there's a ton of dudes that are playing this week that played this week that are going to play this – sorry, that played in the Masters that are going to play this week. So
yeah, because it being an elevated event.
Dudes that made the cut. The dudes that played in that marathon on Sunday. Dudes that played in the god-awful weather that could have pneumonia on Saturday. Like, you got to skip all of that. Like, yeah. You got to skip all of that. I'm kind of blown away that's the case. I mean, he did not put long sleeves on all weekend, Thursday or Friday.
Oh, so you're saying he's going to claim that he's sick? Is that what he's going to do?
I'm saying, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, he played in the best conditions you could have played in for Thursday and Friday, played bad. I mean, he played okay on Thursday, shot even par. But he had 5 birdies. And then he played atrocious on Friday. He shot 40 on the front nine. Like, I don't know. That's just a bad look when Captain PGA Tour is not following the PGA Tour rules. That does not seem to bode very well
right now, because they haven't expressed anything else. Article I was reading it, you know, that I told you about, it definitely affects his PIP. The PIP, if you skip 2 events, you can still win money. Like, if he still finished second in the PIP, instead
it's
of him
like
getting
prorated
like,
or something.
Yeah, instead of him getting like $9 million, he's going to get like $4 million or like $4.5 million. Like, they take a chunk. They take a lot out.
They should, but if that's part of the rules, they should.
But as far as other stuff, like, you're right. I think the thing that you're saying is the most important thing to lean on. He and JT... Jay Monahan had to be just pissed this past weekend. He and JT are the faces of the PGA Tour. Both missed the cut.
Yeah.
The only saving grace, as everybody says, with JT bogeying 18, it allowed Tiger to get in. So they're saying he fell on the sword. I'm like, no, he hit it in the damn woods. Like,
he didn't have to, though. He didn't have to do that because he bogeyed 17.
Right.
He only had to finish at 3 over. He may have thrown 17. He did not want to miss the cut. I assure you that. And if he would have just finished the same as Tiger, which was 3 over, he could have made the cut. But he bogeyed 18, and that's how he lost it. Not because he had to bogey it to get Tiger in. Tiger was already in.
And right.
He screwed 18 up. And I like Justin Thomas, so I was sad he played.
No, bad. I wanted him.
I actually picked him as one of my possible winners in a pool. So. That was sad.
Yeah, he was in my pool too. He was a wild card for me. Now, if you did the pool through the masters.com, you actually, if your guy didn't make the cut, you got to switch out your players, which is kind of cool.
How did our picks do? Did you even look at, have we even looked at them?
I haven't looked at them, and I don't even remember who I picked. I had
Gary Woodland, who finished the tournament. He was T14, and then Max Homa, who finished T43. I think you picked
– I took Jordan.
Jordan Spieth.
Kisner is the outlier, and Kisner didn't make the cut.
Yeah, Spieth played good. Spieth played good. He made a run on – he shot 6-under on Sunday, which is phenomenal. Thought he might have a chance.
Oh, he and
Did he make a bogey late? Did he make a bogey late? He bogeyed 18. But I thought there was a really makeable birdie. I think it was 13. He didn't birdie 13, and then he bogeyed 18. So he could have been around like 9-under. Because I was thinking if he could post 9-under, that would put a little pressure on Rahm to have to finish. And I mean, it turned out it would have only been a 2-shot, or was Rahm at 11 or 12. Who was it? 12. So,
Is it
yeah,
12?
still. Yeah, so our picks kind of sucked. Yours was you beat me by a little bit, but yeah,
Who were yours
Rory,
again? You had Woodland and who?
Woodland and Homa. And Homa, both of them made the cut, but Homa didn't play good at all.
No, Homa had a bad day on Sunday. He finished like next to last. He had a real bad day on Sunday.
Yeah. But anyway, I guess before we move on to the next topic, I want to give a shout out to Bad Birdie Golf. It's not the number one, but they should be the number one sports golf apparel company in the country. They have absolutely outrageous hats, polos, pretty much everything that you could ever want on the golf course. If you want to feel good and look loud and at the same time,
yeah,
that's the way you go. They got awesome printed polos and everything. So I would say check them out and use coupon code DAD15. Take 15% off. I mean, the stuff's affordable anyway. I mean, you're talking like high quality polos under $80. The stretchy, real lightweight material under $80. Then you get to take another 15% off. It's incredible. So,
you also, that goes on top of sales, Kyle. I looked on there. There are a couple of shirts. They're low in stock, so they've been marked down to like $54.
And then so you can take 15% off on
yep.
top of that. Wow. So, I mean, can't beat it. Can't beat it. Bad Birdie Golf. So check them out.
Badbirdiegolf.com. Download the app. Be sure to get the
download
app.
Download the app. Yep. They got an app that they give out exclusive releases on. So, all right. So speaking, you know, keeping along the lines of the Masters, I noticed it, but I didn't necessarily like put it all together that Patrick Cantlay was playing brutally, brutally slow, like so much so that people are mad. I mean, it made people like it's making people actually angry at how slow he played. And I did not notice it at the time, but Hovland was fed up as well. Victor
yes.
Hovland, there was several times. One time on there's a replay that you got to go look for it. It made me laugh so hard. And I don't know how I missed it at the time, but they're on 13. And I think Hovland went for it in two, and he was behind the green. And Cantlay laid up. Cantlay's taken forever to hit his shot. So Victor Hovland just starts walking up. So Victor Hovland is essentially almost by the green when Cantlay hits his third shot into the green. And Cantlay is going so dadgum slow to get to the green that Hovland just chips. Hovland just goes ahead and chips up. Cantlay is 50 to 60 yards from the creek. Like he hasn't even gotten to the creek yet.
Wow.
And Hovland's chipping. On 18, they said that Hovland was so fed up on 18 that he's literally walking to the green as Cantlay's hitting his shot out of the fairway. And like people are like, the crowd is like making comments like that, like, oh, like, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah.
I had a buddy that was there and he said that it was very noticeable. Like Hovland didn't even care that he was hitting the shot. He's like walking onto the green. He was so fed up with it.
Yeah.
Did
and
you
at that
notice
point,
this?
At that point, they're out of, I noticed the point that I noticed it was, a couple of holes on the front, where you had Rahm and if right, they hadn't shown the clips of Rahm and Koepka like sitting there visiting with one another. But then again, like you'd brought up to me, you'd said, yeah, but Cantlay even said he was waiting on some groups in front of him sometimes. And I was like, yeah, but it turned from on number, if you remember, it turned from jovial on number two with Rahm and Koepka waiting at the par five, because we all know they're going to have to wait there because people are waiting to go for it in two and that kind of stuff. Turn from that to around six or seven when it showed them, they weren't very jovial anymore. They were staring out into the fairway like, what's going on down there? And then the famous shot was on 16 when apparently he was trying to read like an 8 or 9 foot putt. And my goodness gracious, he took forever. And that's the shot that you see that both Rahm and Koepka both look super pissed on 16, just staring at the green, like both of them really want to go, hurry up. Like, what are you doing? You're out of it. Make the putt, just putt it and move on. And so, you know, that's the one that I guess there's some girl back there that apparently went viral that they was in that shot, because that shot is with Rahm and Koepka, and she's like staring at Koepka's butt. And so she went viral. But the thing that I noticed in it is not necessarily the girl. It's how pissed both of them are, like standing there staring at the green. Like, what are we doing right now?
Yeah.
It's taken him. He literally took like 10 minutes to read a putt. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, Brooks was like, John Rahm was taking like big dumps during the round, and like we still were waiting.
He went to the bathroom seven times.
Like, he said he went to the bathroom seven times, and we're still waiting. Which I think that's funny. Do you think that? Here's my thing though. Here's my thing. That was a crowded. When you do, I think there was split tees. Am I right? Mm-hmm. There were split tees. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's some crossover issues.
Yep.
When you start to do the whole crossover. And I don't remember there being long periods of time where, like, we're waiting on I don't guess I remember a huge gap between Cantlay and the group in front of them. I mean, I don't doubt that he's playing slow.
I think their issue is how long he was taking over shots. Not that you need to play ready golf, but he's out there walking with his yardage book and he's talking to his kid, like no clubs have been pulled.
Yeah.
You know, Hovland's already played and he still has yet to pull a club. I think that's the stuff they were pissed about. Cause I think on the holes they had to wait. Like I said, on two, they sat there, they knew there was gonna be a wait. There's a log jam because that's a par five. Every par five is gonna be a lot because every par five is reachable. So every par five, there was going to be a log jam. But I think when it got to like, you know, at one point in time, they showed a shot of Cantlay on one of the par threes. I think it was, what's the par three? Is that four is a par three? Yeah.
Yeah.
Four is a par three because it's before the par five. Cantlay got it to the green. And before he even pulled his putter, he's like walking around looking at his putt. And it's kind of like, what are you doing? Like, get your putter out. Like, why do you not have your putter in hand? Like you're on the grill. What the hell else are you going to be using? What are you waiting on?
I've never known Patrick Cantlay is like notorious for being a slow player.
Oh, I don't
either.
Think he is.
I don't think.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, he was very deliberate. Let's just say that. He was very deliberate. And people on Twitter are like, want him to leave the PGA Tour. It's hilarious. There's golf commentators. There's media personalities, then there's just your regular golf Twitter that they were just absolutely furious.
Well, like I think that he just, it was out of character because he was not in contention.
Like, yeah.
You know, it'd be something if that's Jordan and Phil in front and they've actually got a shot at catching Rahm, I get it. But it was Cantlay in front who didn't have a shot. He'd shot his way out of it. So it's like, what are you doing, bro? You know, I was telling you, I sent you that tweet from one guy. He said, never seen the last group on Sunday at Augusta have to wait so often. Guess that was partly due to Cantlay being so slow in front of them. Not sure. Did CBS mention it? Only heard a few comments, but the natural wait on certain tees. But it just seemed like it was too many waits. And that was when it gave the quote, John went to the bathroom like seven times during the round and we're still waiting. So he became notorious this weekend for his slow play. I don't think he is a slow play golfer, but apparently this weekend I don't know why he was doing that.
Yeah. And he had very bad rain pants, very unfortunate rain pants.
All his pants that he wears are unfortunate, man. He's got a weird shape.
It is. He's like, he's a lot of torso and he's got big legs. So it's like, and he had the parachute puffy rain pants.
Let's just call
it,
Kyle. He's got good birth and hips. Let me just
tell
you that.
He's got a big
old
ass.
He's got real good birth and hips.
I don't know what the deal is, man. Like, got to get him some pants, get him some jogger. What would he look like in joggers?
Probably like an hourglass of big hips going down his. We blamed Hugo Boss. That was his sponsor, and he lost that sponsor. But apparently, he hasn't picked one up that has a very shapely form to it. Like somebody needs to work with him on his.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about a guy. When you see his vacation photos, he doesn't even dress well like in real life. So I don't know that he's going to do real well on the golf course either.
Oh man, but Patrick Cantlay just pissing folks left and right.
He did. Most, he did make some people mad, man. He
like
there
the
are
nicest
some people,
guy. It seems like he's the nicest guy ever. He was just people were not happy with him. I don't know. It's kind of funny.
I am curious. I'm sure he's in the field. It's an elevated event, so I'm sure he's in the field this week. I'd be curious to see if that gets addressed at some of the press conferences, as well as if it's in the back of his mind when he hits the course. I mean, I'd be interested to see how it is this week.
So I saw this tweet, and I mean, I saw this. It said something like, Patrick Cantlay, from the time he teed off to the time he finished his last 18 was 4 hours and 50 minutes. And they were like,
I saw over 5 hours is what I saw.
Did you? I got to go back and find it. But I mean, maybe that's the case. Maybe it was 5 hours and 50 minutes. But I remember when I caddied at the dang Forum Tour event, it was like 5-6 hour rounds. Like it took forever. Yeah, it took so long. And those dudes were grinding, but I just remember it took the whole, I mean, it took so very long to finish those rounds.
If he keeps doing this and if other players keep doing it, there's going to be a shot clock implemented. It's going to be like the pitch clock in baseball. They're going to have a shot clock because they've got a tour official with them on each hole. Like there's going to be something implemented. Like once you approach your ball, you've got, I don't know, 90 seconds to hit it. You got to quit waiting 3 and 4 minutes.
That's going to screw – that is going to piss some people off.
Oh, it's going to really piss some people off. But if they don't police it themselves amongst the players, that's where they're headed. I mean, that's what led to baseball doing it. They weren't policing it amongst the players. So baseball, Major League Baseball ended up doing it. And they've discussed it with the PGA Tour. So, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if they do it.
I saw a funny tweet. It's a still photo of Patrick Cantlay standing, like, leaning on his putter, and somebody says, I can't tell if this is a Patrick Cantlay GIF or JPEG. Like, it's a movement thing, and you're, like, waiting for it to move.
That's pretty good.
Oh, man. I gotta read up on some of the, how long it took, because if it was 5 hours or under, like with the conditions and the double tees and everything, like that doesn't seem that slow to me. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's one of the shortest courses, and it's one of the courses that it's most compact. Like every hole's right next to one another. So there are no long walks in between holes. You know, if you got some of those holes where you see the guys take off and they got to walk a quarter of a mile to get the next tee box, I get that. But these holes, I mean, you've seen it. There are guys that wait to putt because the tee box is right next to them.
Golf entered the week divided and came out united. We all hate Patrick Cantlay. That's a tweet I just read. Oh, man. No, here it is. Patrick Cantlay taps in on 18, 4 hours and 50 minutes after he teed off playing in a pair. Would genuinely love an explanation of what you have to do to be penalized for slow play. I just don't. I don't know. Maybe I didn't think that was that. I didn't think that I played that. I played that long in a cart before. Like I played long. I played some pretty long rounds before. When it gets backed up, regardless, it was definitely slow because it pissed a lot of people off. So, let me tell you a way that you can speed up your round
and not be pissed off.
That's by using Blue Tees range finders. And let me tell you why. Because you're not finding that sprinkler head. You're not counting your steps. You're pulling right up beside the ball. You're firing down on that pin or scan moding that bunker up in the fairway or scanning that tree up by the creek.
Did you just say scan moding?
Scan moding. It's a verb. It's a verb. Scan moding that verb. Scan moding that tree up by the creek. You just pull right up beside your ball. Fire down, get your yardage, and go. Hit it, and you can trust it, and go. And I tell you what, if it's a little bit downhill, it's got a little slope feature on it, too. So it'll hit that slope. It'll calculate how much down, and if it's 160, maybe playing 145. You wouldn't know that if you didn't have a Blue Tees rangefinder, and you probably wouldn't have known it anyway because you didn't want to spend $600 for the top-of-the-line guy that would do that that would calculate that for you. So – save big on already incredibly affordable rangefinder with all the features of the big guys by using coupon code DADBOD and taking an additional 10% off. And if that's not good enough, if a rangefinder's not good enough, they got Bluetooth speakers, they got mag towels, mag hubs, divot tools, they got everything. They got everything you need to have a good time and play better and feel better while you're doing it. So Blue Tees Rangefinders, it's where rangefinders start. How was that ad read? That was phenomenal.
All I had was that you lost me at scan modem because all I thought was that scene in Wedding Crashers, you scan modem? You scan modem? Is that what you were? You scan modem, son of a bitch, you.
Motorboating. Yeah. Yeah. I am a scan modem SOB is what I am.
I'll turn around and see you out in the middle of the fairway. Kyle, you scan modem? You scam. I bet you're scan modem.
You scan modem, son of a gun. Yeah. I'm that. I mean, I tell you what, you give me an ad read and I'm going after it. How about that? I'll do whatever I got to do.
I love it.
All right. Last thing, Ben calls BS on this. I think it's legit, but there was tweets that said that Augusta National will do 70 million in merch sales throughout the week. Like, so for the
alone.
Week.
That's alone. That's it. Just alone. No, this isn't ticket sales combined. This isn't concessions. Merch only. Just what's in the tents, the pop-up shops, and the north and south buildings, gift shops.
Okay.
$70 million.
Ben says BS.
I just don't. When I first saw it, I was like, that is so awesome. And then I got to think about it and I thought, that's a shit ton of money to be able to make in a week. And I just don't know that that's possible. Now, and I get it. That's not profits. That's just what that's what they're
just sales, revenue.
Yeah, that's just in their revenue and that's in their sales and they'll worry about profits later. But, I can't wrap my head around 70 million because I just don't know that they can move that many people in and out. You know, there was a tweet that came out yesterday that said right now some guy is in the lead. They realized some dude spent like over $300,000 in there, which by the way, that guy must have had like daily passes and gone back multiple days to shop. I don't see how you could. I mean, $300,000 is a hell of a lot of money to spend in a clubhouse, like buying merch. I mean, most golf clubs, you could literally like buy the entire inventory for $300,000. I mean, I know you couldn't in there probably, but still, he spent $300,000. Some of the players, I think they said no player really spent like over 20 or 30 or something like, because, you know, the players get there early. Like Cam Smith is one. He said he collects the putters. That's why you can't find the Scotty Cameron Memorial putters because they put a new design on them every year. So he buys like six of those. Yeah. So Cam Smith says he spends like 20 or 30 every time he goes. But even if you factor in all the players spending 10 grand a piece, and then you got a few patrons that spend, I don't know, 15, 20, $30,000. That guy was an outlier, the $300,000.
Let's do this.
That's just hard to come up with $70 million. That's $10 million a day.
It's not that hard. Let me tell you why. On tournament rounds, the attendance is usually 40,000. Okay. Now, not every one of those is going to go into the gift shop and buy some, but there's going to be a lot of them that are going to spend $1,000 or more. Like me, I mean, I spent $2,500. Okay. So if you took every person and just say they count for they're going to count for $100 of gift shop revenue. That's $16 million a day for 4 days. That's $72,000. That's $72 million right there. That's where
Kyle, you're also talking about a year where more merch. They've even said this, more merch is bought in the practice rounds than it is during the regular rounds.
I know. I'm saying if you just look at just the four – if you just look just the four tournament rounds,
not to mention Saturday was cut short.
And then take this though. It was open the Saturday prior and the Sunday prior too for the women's event because there was people buying stuff then and putting it on sale as well. Ben, they sell more than 40,000 tickets on practice rounds. Like everybody goes in. I mean, I'm telling you, I would not be surprised if it was more than 70 million. I mean, that's 10 million a day in 8 hours. That's $1 million an hour in two Two different gift shops, and not even counting all the little stands all throughout the whole course, but the north and the south gift shop, who have lines out the door for 8 solid hours, and like you can't go in there and spend less than $100.
No, I get that. Yeah, there's no way. I mean, I would venture to say you can't go in there and spend less than $250. If you do, it's because like you did, you forgot something and went back in to buy like a t-shirt and a hat. That's the only way.
So let's do this. Let's say there's 40,000 people a day. How many of those people do you think, what percentage of those 40,000 people do you think make a purchase in the gift shop? 50% of them? Is that too high?
No, I'd say 50% of them do.
Okay, so 20,000 people. What's the average order, you think? $250 minimum?
No, I'd probably say minimum. I mean, you got guys like you. Yeah, some people go in there and spend $150 bucks.
Think about average the average order.
Average order is probably around 700. I would venture to say $750 to $1,000.
Well, damn, Ben. If it's $1,000, that's $20 million a day.
Yeah, but you got to okay. First off,
I do, and that's what's saying 50. That's
yeah, but you're saying 7 days. You can't say 7 days, and the reason you can't say 7 days is because the NY event is limited. It doesn't have 40,000 people on Saturday.
Okay,
it doesn't even have
say six. We're at 120 million.
I don't think they allow more than what was Riley telling me. I don't think they allow more than
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 7 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 7 days.
Yeah, but he was saying that the 70 million was from Saturday to Sunday. That's what that guy said. From the ANWA all the way through the following Sunday. That's what that one tweet guy, that's what his
saying. Okay, well, that's still easily. I still say, I'm saying if half of the people make a purchase in the store, the average order is going to, let's just say $250, $20,000 times $250 is $5 million. Okay. That times seven is $35 million. Okay. I think that's probably extremely low. They easily make $70 million. When you put pen to paper.
No, I totally get it. It just blows my mind that they do that much.
Yeah. I mean,
also, it blows my mind. Why is this the first time we're hearing about this? I think that's another reason. I'm getting sticker shock. Like the guy threw that number out there and I was like, okay, well, let's look at previous years. Let's do some comparables here.
I would love to know.
Is that a normal year? 70 million? Is that a, the shirt, there's no real markup. The shirts are the same. The shirts you got me is exact same price as a buddy that bought me one last year. Exact same price as you. They don't have markups. They don't.
It's cheaper to buy a. It's cheaper to buy a Peter Millar at Augusta National than it is to buy at a Peter Millar at like a. I'm trying to think of
a local Auburn retailer. I'll tell you that.
Don't go there. But like, no, I'm saying like a non Peter Millar. So, just a licensed Peter Millar dealer store. Yeah. It's cheaper to go buy at Augusta National. They don't mark it up. Like they could sell those shirts for $250.
This pullover was cheaper, and you can't get this color online at Peter Millar, but this polo was cheaper at Augusta National than a similar, the same like type feel, all that without the logo on it as you would buy online at Peter Millar.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy. It's crazy, and so they're whatever percentage they get from that. I mean,
I would love to see the financial breakdown because I've told you the some of the shirts that they have they make on site in Augusta. It's the Masters collection or whatever. It's there. Mm-hmm. So
Masters
it's,
Tech.
I mean, it's not 100% profit because they got to pay their employees and they got to pay for materials and they got to pay rent for the building or whatever it is, but. It's damn sure a lot more profit than what you're probably making off of a Peter Millar shirt or I think FootJoy was in there. Somebody told me they saw some FootJoy shirts in there.
I didn't see any FootJoy in there, but
or maybe it could have been. No, I bet they were rain suits. I bet that's what they had in there.
They may have had some rain suits. I didn't see any FootJoy pull up.
But anything that's made like on site, they're making more money off of.
Sure.
Because that's what I told Kyle. I said, yeah, get me a Peter Millar shirt because it's going to be the same prices, the Masters Collection or Masters Limited or whatever it is shirt. So might as well get me one that I know is going to fit me the same way. So
here, let me tell you something. This is something, this is on the same topic, but something I learned this year that I will remember moving forward if I ever go back. But in my mind, you start selling stuff on Monday or whenever, Saturday, whatever. And as stuff sells out, you just replenish it, you replenish it. And then if it gets to like Saturday, Sunday, there's not going to be a whole lot of stuff left because it's going to be picked through for the rest of the week. So we were just a smidge late on Monday. So we were like, we got through the gate at like 8:30. So I'm, you know.
Did y'all sleep in?
No, we didn't. We didn't. I brought a digital camera, and the camera did not have a memory card in it. So we had to go find a Walmart in the middle of the night, or middle of the morning, bright and early, to find a car. But anyway,
I'm sure your dad let you hear about that a little bit.
We're a little bit late, so I'm like, man, do we want to go? Now the line's already now out of the whole freaking building to get. And we came in the North Gate, which I didn't want to do. I wanted to come in the South Gate because I knew that South Gate Pro Shop was gonna be baller, because it always is. So I was like, look, let's just go get out on the course. And it turned out great because we did see Tiger for several holes. We got some good stuff, good pictures with Tiger. But when I went, so we didn't go shopping until like, I don't know, 3 or 4 o'clock. Well, at that point in time, I learned that they have a set amount per day of each style of things. So like, so when they run out that day, they still got it in the back, but they do not refill it. It's gone, because they have an allotted amount as it, you know, for the whole week per day.
Right.
So everybody gets a shot, I guess, which is cool. But there was some polos that I'm seeing for sale that I missed out on because I would have bought them. And there's some pullovers, and there's some hats. There was definitely some hats that I was very disappointed I could not get. The one that says, you seen the one that people says skip it? It's like a navy rope hat, and it says
no,
skip
I hadn't
it.
Seen that.
Uh-huh. There was a pink one that had a green azalea in green across it. It's kind of like
I did
your
see
hat.
That one. Yes,
kinda like
I did
hat.
See that one.
Those were gone. Those were the first ones. Those were some of the first ones they bought. They were not available. So I learned my lesson there. Always go shopping first, and shop at the Southgate. So write that down, remember it for next year if you go. Shop
Thanks
at the
for giving
Southgate
everybody the secrets. That's so
and
nice.
Go first. And go first. Yeah. Well, I figured out it's like impossible to get to the South. Like I gotta figure out the correct lane to get in and how to get and when to get in it when I'm coming in, because they filter you places. Like I can't just park south. I gotta get in the right lane to get to the South lane. So now I gotta like go backtrack the map and figure out how to get into that lane, because you can't just get over and do it. But there's a lot of stuff I would, you know, may do different, but it was great. Great.
Did you see anybody scalping tickets?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Did you ask anybody what they were going for?
I didn't, because we were driving past them, so I didn't get a chance to. They were doing it really close to the course though, which was kind of surprising. Like they were doing
it. There was a gas station where we went that was, and this was in 2016, so it's even gotten bigger since then. But my old roommate that I went with, we had an extra ticket because his dad backed out last minute. And so
that's
we
on
sold,
Washington Boulevard, the main
so.
Drag right in front of it.
We sold it for $850.
We came in from the back, and I mean, this was like a roundabout that was probably less than a half of a mile from the course. And there was people like out in their front yard in this roundabout with a tent up that says we're buying and selling tickets. So I was kind of shocked that they could do that right there, that close to the course. I figured Augusta.
No, I don't think it's on why. Cause that, well, that gas station is literally like right across the street is the course.
That's Washington. That's the main, I think that's the main drag. Like you get off the interstate onto that street to go to go to the course. But anyway, we've talked a lot, you know, Rory, what's up with Rory? Patrick Cantlay, everybody hates Patrick Cantlay right now, which is kind of funny. And, you know, a little merch talk from Augusta. So I think we may just about be ready to close the book on Augusta for this year.
No,
Masters
no chance.
This year. maybe there's something going to pop up.
We've got There'll be some story that comes out between now and RBC. Somebody will ask some sort of question at the press conference, Masters related, that we'll be like, oh, we got to talk about that.
Yep, we got RBC this weekend. We're going to have a member guest breakdown, too. We're going to have a member guest breakdown from the weekend. It's a three-day tournament this year. Match play. Can't wait.
Does Kyle blow it?
Probably. But we'll have to see how that goes. It's going to be fun regardless. So y'all have a great rest of the week. We'll talk again soon. This is episode 280 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod.
You've been listening to
stroking.
The Dad Bod Golf Pod. Always stroking.